game. Now stop humming this, everything done changed. That Warped Tour make you open your brain. Eric Vanek is here, so remember the name. Hey, he got the waiver wire for the week. Tell you who to start and who to give a seat. Dropping the podcast every week. You know the knowledge is elite. After the show, we gon' hold a Lombardi. Celebrating like we throwing a party. This the blueprint and I know they gon' copy. All my intros always go the hottest, cause this is America's game.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to America's Game, episode number 59. I'm your host, Eric Vanek. You can find me on Twitter at Eric Vanek NFL, and you can follow the show also at America's Game Pod. And once again, joined by my co-host, Michael. Actually, let me get this correct, introduce you correctly. Number, where is it? There it is. Number 348th overall in the Scott Fishbowl, Michael. Talking with Eric, number 65 overall in the Scott Fishbowl.
There we go. Look at us.
That's a little better. Look at us.
Who would have thought? Look at us.
50,000 something people. Here we are. We're both in the top 350.
This is not bad.
No, not bad at all. Representing South Harmon real well.
Yeah, we're doing all right, man. Apparently, warp matters. And drafting off of warp in Scott Fishbowl has done okay for us.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Who would have guessed?
Yeah, I mean, I know you had a pretty big win. I beat my opponent by, oh my God, double his points. I doubled his points. He had like 104. I had 230 something. So, yeah, pretty good week for South Harmon and Scott Fishbowl.
It's bittersweet, though, because I got that dub on Maddie. So I beat Maddie's ass. Nah, should have taken Rashid Shaheed.
You guys were in the same draft. Nice.
Yeah, I have a murderer's row of division, right? So gotcha. Cody's in here, Maddie's in here, Nate Liss is in here, Alan Sislowski's in here. You know, it's rough. All right, so
yeah,
I got
to
earn
it. Not to pour some shit on some people, but kind of was looking through the rest of the group there. Adam did okay, and I got to Cody, and I'm like, woof.
What happened?
So Cody's down there. He was like, I don't know. I forget. He was way down. He's 0-2 to start the year. Real rough patch, I guess. Start the year for Cody.
When you draft Luke Musgrave, even though I told everybody all offseason, it's Tucker Kraft's team. I mean, that'll happen to you.
Yep. Oh, all right. Well, speaking of that, week one just wrapped up, man. Pretty good overall week one. Thank God there wasn't like any like super major injuries.
Yeah.
You know, Jordan Love's going to be out a couple weeks. David Njoku's going to be out a couple weeks. We thought Jake Ferguson was going to be out a couple weeks. He's the miracle man, apparently. He might play this week. Jordan Addison's going to be out for a couple weeks. I didn't even know Raheem Mostert got hurt, and now he's out for this week. But nothing too major. No, you know, season-ending ones or anything like that. So thank God we survived that. But what was your first overall impressions of week one?
It was very down. Across the board in fantasy scoring, you know, you see a lot of posts out there about how little passing yards there are just historically across the league in week one. The most rushing yards I think we've seen, I thought the last time I saw it was the most since like 2010 for an opening week. So a little bit of a change, and it's kind of interesting. I don't know if I want to jump to the conclusions yet, but it's something Adam and I talked about way, way long ago, like when the offseason first started, about this kind of cover two zone shell that these defenses have been playing, and last year was bad for the quarterbacks relative to the previous four. Maybe teams are actually, you know, doing the thing, you know, they're doing the Pete Carroll thing, run the fucking football, you know, team establish it. So it'd be interesting to see if it's actually just rust and not a lot of action in the preseason, not a lot of guys playing together, or if this is actually going to be a trend and this is how they're going to attack these defenses now and they're just going to run the damn football.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of saw that with some teams. I kind of expected Buffalo to be that, and Buffalo did do that. I think Josh Allen only had like two attempts in like the first quarter or whatever the hell it was, or first two quarters. But
wow,
you know, running the ball. You know, here's Buffalo running the ball. I mean, even Houston ran the shit out of the ball with Joe Mixon. Like Joe Mixon got 30 plus carries. I think the only way for the Patriots to win is be successful running the ball. What the hell did they do? They were successful running the ball and won a damn ball game. So I agree with you, man. I think there's some of these teams are going to establish the run a lot more. And I think teams that are, you know, throwing for 400, 500 yards a game are going to be slim to none this year. You know, not as many wild passing games, I don't think, but yeah, I mean, I agree with you. So there was definitely some offenses that I'm thinking a little bit differently about. And that's Arizona for sure was one of the ones I wanted to talk about with.
What the fuck happened there?
I think they're just riding the shit out of James Conner. It's going to be, I don't want to say 50-50, but maybe 55-45. And, you know, James Conner is definitely going to be a big deal this year. I think Joe Mixon's going to be a big deal this year. Both of those guys got used a shit ton in week one. I mean, that, do I expect that to 30 carries a game? No, but I expect them to both be very, very big parts of the offenses, and people that I definitely want to acquire, in some leagues is Mixon and some Connor after that, watching that week one. What did you think of those guys?
I mean, both those guys, I apologize for all the Joe Mixon hate that I had. The usage is absolutely ridiculous. And it's weird, too, because he does still look slow and kind of like dog shit. But he got much stronger as the game went on, too, and just trucking people, and people didn't want to tackle him. You know, maybe it's week one. I don't know if he'll hold up the whole season, especially with that kind of usage, especially at that age. Like, I don't know if that's a huge bet I still want to make, but pleasantly surprised by his usage. And damn, you're right, James Conner, just workload. We're going to give it to James Conner. Fuck this new shiny, you know, top three drafted wide receiver that we got. We're only going to target him three times. We're going to throw the ball to Greg Dortch and just run it with James Conner. Interesting game plan for the Arizona Cardinals in week one.
I mean, I read some stuff that they were, you know, focusing their coverage and all that on Marvin Harrison, which I don't blame them. So maybe that had a little bit to do with it. Kyler kind of said, you know, it's not my job to force feed him the ball like that. I'm going to go give the ball to the guy who's open. So, you know, if he's getting double, triple covered already, you know, this just shows the respect teams have for him. But Marvin's going to get his at some point this year. You know, kind of piggybacking a little bit on the Texans and Cardinals, like, I was surprised at how many teams, you know, didn't bring in these RB2s and RB3s to run the ball a lot. Like, you know, Arizona and Houston, you look at the Rams, they were another one. Like, Blake Corum didn't even get a carry. Ronnie Rivers got a little bit here and there. Trey Benson, like, three carries. You know, the Buffalo, Ray Davis had, like, three carries. Ty Johnson had a couple carries. There wasn't, like, I mean, obviously there were split backfields, but there wasn't, like, a whole lot of, you know, this guy's getting 12 and this guy gets 10. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of that at all. It was like the workhorses getting 15, 20, 25, 30 carries, whatever it was. That surprised me a little bit, especially being for week one. And a lot of those guys didn't play in the preseason. So, you know, they're not getting tackled and hit all the time. So, you know, are they used to it? Are their bodies going to break down because they're not used to it? But these teams just said, fuck it. We're going to give it to these guys, you know, 25, 30 times a game.
Yeah, I mean, there was, you know, I usually put the benchmark at, you know, today's NFL anyways, not 2003, you remember, like, Larry Johnson and those kind of guys getting ridiculous carries. But
fucking carries a year.
Yeah, you know, I put the benchmark as, like, a workhorse running back now getting 15 carries, and you had 20 guys in week one with 15 carries. Like, that feels like a lot. It feels like a lot where they're, you're right, like, they're not really splitting these backfields, they're just giving it to one dude and being like, all right, go get it. go get it.
I mean, some other ones that come to my mind, Chicago, like, Khalil Herbert didn't fucking touch the ball. Travis Homer had more touches than Khalil Herbert.
Weird. Like, they really do hate him.
Yeah, like that one. God, there were some other ones that came to mind, too. You know, Cleveland only really gave it to Jerome Ford, and Pierre Strong came in for a little bit. Deontay Foreman had one fucking snap. I get why Najee Harris got the ball a bunch because, you know, Warren's coming off of the hamstring, but Warren only got like two or three touches. Damn, man, it was just crazy to see how many guys were like just a featured guy and they weren't even using the other guys. So I think that's going to change throughout the year. I don't expect that to fully happen this year, but it has changed my expectations on some of these guys like James Conner and Joe Mixon. Like, I mean, Cam Akers wasn't even active for the freaking game and everyone's expecting him to be the backup. So yeah, that's going to be something to monitor going forward for sure.
Overall pass volume wasn't that crazy, you know. Like, I mean, below league average right now is like 30 attempts, and yeah, if you just put that as kind of your benchmark, geez, Eric, you only had 15 players throw for 30 attempts in week one.
Yeah,
that's crazy, man. And it's like Bryce Young, it's like the cutoff, right? But you look at the fantasy scores, and it didn't matter for some of the guys because of what rushing production. Rushing production. The mobile quarterbacks absolutely killed it in week one, and I think they made a big statement about why I'm always so much higher on drafting a guy who's got that Konami code in football, because they're going to run the ball. Like, Anthony Richardson was a top quarterback on the week, like a top scoring quarterback. He threw 9 completions.
So I was going to bring up 9 fucking completions. That's all 9. Had. And he was quarterback 2 on the day.
The people always worried about the passing volume with A. Rich in the offseason. That was the whole thing. Like, Michael Pittman, whoever it was, Anthony Richardson, oh, he's not going to throw the ball enough. He's not raw. He's too raw to be able to process it. Whatever the fucking excuse was, he goes out. I think he finished, what, QB2 or QB3 on the week with 9 fucking completions.
Yeah,
Jesus.
Yeah, he was QB2 on the week. It was pretty insane to see that, like... But, I mean, the rushing yards, the rushing touchdowns, you know, that's what's going to happen for sure. How about Baker Mayfield, man? Did you see that coming from him?
No, absolutely not. And I shit on him on Saturday when I was on with the Club Fantasy guys doing starter sit questions. You know, I'm making the joke about how soon do we figure out it was all Dave Canales and Baker Mayfield actually is just Baker Mayfield. He sucks. Yeah. And he must have listened, I guess. That offense was clicking right out the gate, firing. Baker was on a heater. Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, heavily involved. Just what you wanted to see if you owned any of those guys. And whew, I didn't anticipate the Bucs coming out like that. So it either tells me that offense was well prepared and Baker's going to have another really good year, and I apologize, or damn, start everybody whenever they play Washington's defense. Like, just start everybody, every single person you got. If they play Washington, start them.
Besides this week, don't start Daniel Jones.
Except that guy. Yeah. But why? What would you do if Daniel Jones actually came out and had like a QB1-ish week versus Washington? Then you're going to buy it? Like, Washington is terrible.
Yeah. And it also wouldn't surprise me, too. Like, I mean, even though the Giants were terrible, Malik Nabers still had a pretty respectable PPR game. I think it was like 5 or 66 or whatever. Like, not, he didn't like burn the house down or anything, but 5 for 66, I'll take that. So. That was pretty nice. Yeah, so that was a nice one to see. I think we kind of talked about it a little bit. Patriots beating the Bengals. I didn't see that one coming. I didn't have that on my bingo card.
So did, like, you know, half of America in their survivor pools. You know?
Right. And I never take that obvious one on week one. Like, I just never do it. So that was the obvious one. Yeah, that was the obvious one for me. Mine was Miami over Jacksonville, and I barely survived that one.
Oof.
So, yeah, thank God Miami bailed me out on that one. But, yeah, man, Patriots just kind of playing really good defense and running the ball. That's how they're going to have to win all season long. I think they're probably going to continue that, you know, going forward here. Who are some other surprise teams that you like this week or players?
There was a lot, and I think we do this every single year where we think we know exactly what's going to happen, and then we find out the NFL is a massive parity league. I mean, really, really good teams are still going to be really good from one year to the next. That happens. But we're going to have surprises all over. I mean, this time last year, everybody was talking about how the Cardinals are going to be the number one overall pick, and that roster's terrible, and the Rams stink. And, you know, these were our projections going in, and you found out very early in the season that wasn't going to be the case. Right. With Josh Dobbs, the Cardinals were competitive. With Puka Nacua emerging, you're like, damn, Rams maybe win the division this year. That kind of thing. We have this all the time, and I think we went into it knowing, you know, the Patriots are going to be terrible. I think it was you and I talking about, you know, they're a good projection for possibly a number one overall pick. Go out and smack the shit out of the Bengals. Like, yeah, just go out and absolutely smack the shit out of the Bengals. And you're going to have this, especially early in the season, while we kind of figure out who's really good, who's prepared for the season, and who's not. I think some of the biggest surprises I had were just on the player level. Jameson Williams, shout out to him for making me look like an asshole. That guy went out and cooked. Now I'm still not fully bought in, and we can have that discussion. But Cooper Kupp going out and getting 21 fucking targets in 1 week. Just welcome back.
I'm glad I bought into a bunch of Koopa and like redraft and, you know, Dynasty where I could. I bought into a lot of Cooper Kupp there just because, you know, everything was pointing. He's healthy again. Healthy. He's not dealing with any sprained ankles or anything like that. And I wasn't projecting a Puka Nacua injury or anything, but yeah, Cooper Kupp, even before the Puka Nacua injury, was just getting force-fed the ball. I think we're probably in for another big Cooper Kupp season.
Massive one. Massive. Yeah. I tried to talk Adam into drafting Cooper Kupp, especially in that Beat South Harmon League, and he wasn't having none of it. So, you know, I wish we could do that one back.
I think I got him.
Yeah, I was pretty pissed.
Yeah. pissed. Shout out to me. I'm first place in that league, too.
Oh, yeah. Just doing it. How about our guy Bo Nix? Just doing what he did in college on game film, and why I didn't like him in coming out. Did he see a check down he didn't like?
No, I mean he wasn't checking it down. Like, he had like a bunch of completions, but it was like 68 yards in like the third quarter, and then they had to like step on the pedal a little bit and get going. But I didn't think like Bo Nix was terrible or anything. He looked a lot better than some quarterbacks that have been playing for a while, like, you know, Bryce Young. We were expecting this big step from Bryce Young, and fucking woof, man. Like, that was Will terrible. Levis. Yeah, Will Levis didn't have a good... I mean, they were up big, and then all the turnovers and all that happened, and yeah, that was ugly. Daniel Jones, you know, another ugly game. Kirk Cousins, you know, doesn't look healthy.
Looks terrible. You
know? Yeah, he looked terrible.
How about the one that I did expect and it actually happened? This Chargers offense with Justin Herbert, everybody who was still gassing him up as a, you know, top 8, top 9, whatever, dynasty quarterback, might want to reevaluate that one. This is how this offense is going to be all fucking year, and it's going to be terrible for you. Going to be terrible.
Yeah, I mean, the Chargers, they're going to have to play good defense, and they're going to run the ball. I mean,
there's their formula.
I mean, the one that was surprising to me is, you know, I've been completely out on him. I really don't have him anywhere, but Quentin Johnson actually did decent in the stat line.
He wasn't terrible.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, like, saying go out and acquire him or anything, but he did end up with 5 targets. He caught 3 of them for 38 yards. He was second on the team in receiving yards, which is only 1 yard behind McConkey. I mean, as long as Quentin Johnson could, you know, get the targets there with DJ Chark out now, you know, Quentin Johnson could actually be maybe a flex play in some dynasty leagues right now. So that one was surprising to me, at least, you know, positive sign. Another negative sign was how bad the Cleveland Browns looked.
I was going to let you off the hook, buddy, but I guess we'll talk about it.
No. I'm already projecting top 10 pick, and we're going to have a new quarterback next year and everything, so...
Man, it's going to be so tough to get out of that contract, man. It really is.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen there, to be honest. They're going to have to figure it out. But I got to think they got to have a new quarterback next year, because it's just not working with Watson. And I don't get it, too. Like, he's 28 years old. It's not like he's like some 35-year-old washed-up guy. But just that year off and everything that's happened to him, man, it's just he went from MVP to now we're talking about would you rather have Daniel Jones or Deshaun Watson in Dynasty? Like, it's a legit question.
Mm. I'm not completely panicked as an outsider on Deshaun Watson yet. Like, I can still make a few excuses out there for it. It's Dallas's defense, which is good, and they always start ridiculously hot. I mean, that is a tough defense to go up in week 1. And it's even tougher to go up against it without both of your fucking tackles. And it's both not tackles, like, these guys are just average Joes. I mean, it's fucking Jedrick Wills and Conklin. Like, these are really, really good top-tier tackles, and he's missing both of them before the week. And you got to go against Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence and this whole fucking Dallas defensive line that they just keep adding to every single year through the draft. And you're like, motherfucker. Like, you can't run the football, and you don't have any time when you do throw the football, shit's going to look bad, I would imagine. So, listen, if he gets those two tackles back and he still looks like this, hit the eject button. It's over. And Eric, I think they would figure out a way to get out of that contract, but it's tough. I mean, you look at some of the numbers on it about how much they owe in dead cap and what the cap hit is if they cut him. who the fuck's trading for him? But if they get rid of him, it's like, how do you even build a team? How do you even build a team that's anywhere close to competitive?
Yeah. I mean, they're going to have to figure it out for sure. I mean, that was probably, I've seen some embarrassing Browns losses. That's probably in the top five. I've seen some really shitty games.
The one thing I will say, though, like watching that game, because it's always weird. NFL always needs to figure this shit out. Stop putting so many games in the early window and so few in the late window. You know, like this 8-4 shit. Like, even it out a little bit more. Come on. Give me like 6-6. Give me 7-5. Whatever the fuck you want to do. But watching so much of that game on Red Zone, you got to at least be proud of the defense for kind of standing up the way they did. Because you got put in some bad fucking spots, and they held Dak and company and CeeDee Lamb kind of in check all game. And it was a game where it wasn't like, wow, this is just completely out of hand. There's no way they're going to come back. You're like, all right, maybe if the offense makes like one play here, like we do one thing, and we might be back in this. So the defense looks good again, at least.
Yeah. I'm not expecting playoffs or anything. I'm expecting like maybe like a 7-10 team, and, you know, they're picking 10th or whatever. Hey, we finally got a first round pick this year, by the way. I'm not really expecting too much from them. That was pretty pitiful on their part for sure.
So who you got as the worst team in that division, the Bengals or the Browns?
Oh, Browns, yeah.
Are you shitting me?
No, I'm not kidding. Like, what? at least the Bengals have a quarterback that I know can play.
Maybe. Did you see him shaking his wrist all fucking game? Like, the cameras are on it. They didn't miss one of them. And now you're going, oh, maybe that's why Chase wanted to get paid, because he knows this year's going to be dog shit.
Yeah, that could be true, too.
Slim Burrow didn't look very fucking good.
No, but the Bengals, like the last, since Burrow's been in the NFL, have looked like shit from the very beginning. Like their first two or three weeks. Yeah, their first two or three weeks are some of the worst. And then they turn it on and start winning game after game. So even their defense didn't even, I mean, they only held Patriots to 16 points, but still they didn't look that great either.
I'm looking down just at all the Patriots defensive players, and I'm trying to pick out all the ones that I actually know.
It's
very tough. It's very tough, right? I know Christian Gonzalez gets slept on as a cornerback, and that guy is a fucking shutdown corner. So
yeah, he's good. I mean, Jabril Peppers is, you know, he's really good for IDP leagues at least.
Decent, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, they got some guys, and they're missing, you know, probably one of their best ones. Christian Barrymore is out with some blood clot issues and stuff, so. To go on the road and win their first game like that was really impressive.
They did that. They did that thing. Jacoby Brissett did just enough. He looked fucking terrible though to me. He didn't look that good. So start Drake May whenever you guys want, please. Do us all a favor.
Right. All right. So another thing I wanted to talk about too. Let's like maybe like go over our top three players that we kind of want to maybe make some offers for after week one. Like last year it was Puka Nacua went crazy. You know, I know you, I think you traded some of them to get Quentin Johnston. Sorry to hear that.
But, way to bring it up again.
Yeah, sorry. I think it was on this show I convinced you to do it too. My bad.
Son of a bitch.
But let's like talk about like maybe like our top three players that we're looking to acquire right now in Dynasty for you after week one. If you have anyone off the top of your head, or if you want me to go first, I can.
The first one that stands out to me, and I wanted more shares of this guy, but I was kind of apprehensive because it is a position that I don't really want to invest too much in Dynasty in my future. But the usage for Devon Achane was like, if this dude's fucking healthy, I'm starting him, because they are going to use the living shit out of him when he's healthy. And he is, he can change games on a whim. Right, every touch that he gets, you're like, oh, is this okay? It was only 3 yards. Oh, is this the one? Okay, it was 6 yards. He's like, he's right there every single time. He's like a half step away from just busting it open, and that's a guy I think. Having him as your RB1 is great. If I can acquire him, though, where he's more of my RB2 because I have a steady Eddie at RB1, I think that's how I want to build all my contending teams. I want a lot of Achan on my squads now.
Yeah, I took Achan in two of my home leagues, so he's definitely banking on him having a big year. And they kind of talked about basically he's going to be their wide receiver 3, and he really was. Like, he got force-fed a lot of reception targets. Obviously, the running's going to be there eventually. We already see Mostert's out for this week, so we'll see if Achan's going to play this week because he has a little bit of an ankle injury too. But, yeah, when he gets fired up, man, he's one of the top 10 players in the league fantasy-wise that could just blow up for you. So I agree. That's a good one.
The other one I'll give you is another running back, Eric. We'll stick there. And this is a homer pick, but I was on it doing stupid things and telling people it's probably not the right process play, but I'm fucking believing it. Saquon Barkley. Just,
yeah.
We forget about it because the game was on Friday. But yep. Saquon's ending the week, the clear RB1. And Saquon Barkley behind that offensive line, which really didn't seem like they missed too many beats losing Jason Kelce. You know, he's a legend, yeah. But Cam Jurgens played really fucking well in a replacement for Jason Kelce. Saquon Barkley behind that offensive line is going to be disgusting all year. So as long as Saquon's healthy, we always have to put that little asterisk on running backs. As long as they're healthy, Saquon is going to be a league winner for you. And then the one after week one, overreactions left and right. I talked about how great Cooper Kupp was, but for you teams that aren't competing, that don't want to invest in the running back position, listen, if I can trade Cooper Kupp for Roma Dunze and get anything on top, I'm fucking doing it 10 out of 10 times. Like, I'm finding that contending team in my league and going like, okay, I'll let you make that bet. You have Cooper Kupp, you can enjoy his success throughout this year, and I think it probably is pretty good. But I'm going to take the long-term dynasty play every fucking time, and I'm going to take Roma Dunze as he builds with Caleb Williams. So I saw a lot of polls on Twitter. Our guy Scott put one out, you know, about a bunch of different players that involved Roma Dunze, and I'm like, fuck yeah, man, I'm taking Rome. Just process over players, man. Fuck that championship, I guess. If you're going to offer me this deal where I get something on top of Rome, or I can even do it straight up, I'm fucking doing it every single time. So go buy low on Roma Dunze, I guess, is a big one for me that I'm going to go see how much more I can acquire.
I like that one. That's a good one. Some of the ones I have, I mean, I talked about Mixon and Connor. I'm going to kind of throw them both together here. But, you know, if you're on a contending team and you don't have the running backs, or maybe you don't have your first-round pick, like, I don't know if Connor and Mixon are still those guys that are worth first-round picks. Probably not. They weren't in the offseason, so why would it change now? Obviously, they're producing now, so that boosts a little bit. But can I give away my second and another player to go get a Connor or a Mixon? I think I would be investing into that. I think these guys kind of showed that they're going to be workhorses as long as they're out there. I want to get them now and have them producing the points on my team. So those are two guys that I would definitely be looking to acquire. There's, you know, we kind of talked about these workhorse running backs, like James Cook is another one, probably the same kind of thing. You know, just those guys like that. I want to invest in those guys on pretty decent offenses. Texans offense is obviously really good. I think Cardinals are going to be a top half of the league offense. So those are guys I definitely want to invest in right now, especially at the running back position, because they're guys that you can get for a second and another player. You don't have to give up that first round pick for next year to go out and get them. So those are two that I'm looking to get.
I like that. I like that. I like to get them on there too, especially if you can start them now. Like, if you already had a juggernaut and you're like, I just need some RB depth, don't do that kind of shit. Like, you got to have a plan to start them and get the points out of them right now before potentially something bad happens. So I see a lot of people like go out and kind of make these moves early in the season, and I'm not saying it's necessarily wrong, but if you're just getting the guy so you have some RB depth where you're like, I might be able to start him this week, don't do that kind of shit. Roster's loaded with two good running backs and you're starting all these stud wide receivers in your flex, you don't try to just wedge a Mixon or a Connor in there just for funsies.
Right. Yeah, those are definitely two that I want to invest in. The other one, I think this is a good conversation to have. It's Isaiah Likely, man. Tremendous week one from him.
You buying in?
Yeah, I think the Ravens are going to use the shit out of him. Like, I think this is legit. Like, I still think Mark Andrews is going to have his big games. Like, he's not going to be 2 for 16 or whatever the hell he was. But I think Isaiah Likely is at least the number three target on this team behind Andrews and Flowers. And we saw in week one, like, if, you know, those guys are covered, like, Isaiah Likely can step up as the number one passing option on the Ravens, which is a pretty damn good offense in itself. So I'm willing to buy into some Isaiah Likely. Like, if I'm starting Dalton Schultz or Cole Kmet or Dallas Goedert, like, I'd rather start Isaiah Likely. I think I'm going all in on that one.
And we didn't necessarily see it last year from the Ravens, first year under Todd Monken, but I've seen it from Todd Monken before. Like, he was the guy who had Brock Bowers, but also made Darnell Washington relevant where people were drafting him. We were all excited about getting him. So, like, two tight end sets is not out of the norm for what Monken likes to do. We didn't see the usage last year when Mark Andrews was healthy, which really pushed me down on Isaiah Likely for this year, because I'm like, oh, shit, Mark Andrews back. This dude ain't getting used. So I could see a scenario, Eric, where you're not wrong. Like, he's the number three target because, well, I mean, who the fuck else am I going to make a case for? Rashad Bateman? Like, that ship is fucking sailed, man. I don't care how much he separates. Lamar doesn't want to throw him the football. Like, yeah. He just don't.
I mean, it's legit three pass-catching options for the Ravens. It's Andrews, Likely, and Flowers. And maybe a dump-off here or two to Justice Hill. That's about it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not trusting Bateman. He got the ball a couple times, but, you know, I think Juju Smith-Schuster had more targets and catches and all that than he did.
That's not good company to be
in. I mean, Aguilar's good for a play or two, but I only want him in best ball. I'm not trust him in a lineup league, so.
You're not buying Tylan Wallace?
No. I think Isaiah Likely is here to stay, man. I think he's – I mean, I'm not crazy, like, keep trade cut as in, like, top eight or whatever the hell it was. I'm not that crazy, but I think he's at least a starter this year. Like, kind of getting into some of the guys that I don't want or was disappointed in. You know, you look at your Dalton Schultz. We kind of expected Schultz to take a step back with all these wide receivers. Fucking Cole Kmet. Like, Shane Waldron's a moron. So,
yes.
Like, Gerald Everett played more snaps and ran more routes than Cole Kmet, and they just paid Cole Kmet. So, like, if I have Cole Kmet, I have a Dalton Schultz. Pat Freiermuth, if I have those guys, like, I'm like panicking because I'm like, if I can go get Isaiah Likely instead, I'm going to go ahead and go get Isaiah Likely because, Freiermuth and, Kmet, especially, they're stuck in these tight end fucking fuck fest that I like to call them. You know, Steelers are playing three different tight ends. Gerald Everett's playing over Cole Kmet. I'm out on those, like, back end guys. I want the stud guys, or I'm, like, literally just picking somebody up off of the waivers.
There was some interesting stuff that happened with usage, and I love your waiver pod for this, just talking about them, and you're like, you scratch your head at the end of the day, and you go, what the fuck is going on? Like, why?
What fuck are we doing here, man?
What the fuck are we doing? Here's a couple ones that I saw today. Just, I was scrolling through my leagues, and some of my redraft leagues. Now, I get it. Jordan Love's hurt, but people are dropping Christian Watson, like, because of the yards. I know he got the touchdown, which kind of booted it up, but you look at the targets and you're like, dude, like, he's earning the same amount of targets as Jaden Reed, who's the wide receiver one on the week. Like, just transpose that into Dynasty and kind of go sniff around your leagues. Like, all right, no Jordan Love, probably going to look bad with Malik Willis in there, but when Jordan Love comes back, if Christian Watson's still healthy, if I get him for, like, late second, something like that, Eric, fucking Christ, right now, like, that could pay off massively for me later in the season. Mm-hmm. So just kind of keep that in mind with the week one, like, a little caveat there on my three guys, because I was looking at some of the usage stats, and I'm like, what are we panicking about Christian Watson for with five fucking targets with Jordan Love? Like, where's the panic? Like, if he had two targets and Jordan Reed had 10, I get it. Like, all right, fuck it, it's over. It's the Jaden Reed show. There's going to be Romeo Doubs sprinkled in. It's going to be a tight end or two here and there. But five targets in week one, and he got a tutty out of it. And we're like, nah, let's drop him. Drop him in redraft. Fuck this guy.
Yeah, because he's going to have Malik Willis for a couple weeks or a month or whatever it is. I'm not doing that either. I'm okay with benching those guys. I'll bench Jaden Reed this week, even though he was just wide receiver one on the week. I'll bench Christian Watson and Dobbs and all these guys. So we'll see what happens there. Like, I think one of the wide receivers will probably do decent with Willis, but I mean, Malik Willis has never lit up the league passing, so I'm not very favorable on the Packers wide receivers this week. Like, if the odds makers are the same way, like, Packers are their home opener and the Colts are the favorites, so.
They don't respect Malik Willis at all.
Right. So, I mean, I think if you got to start Willis in a league, you're just kind of hoping he gets the rushing yards out of it. So that's probably what you're hoping for. But it is kind of crazy. Like, Jaden Reed, number one wide receiver on the week, and probably going to bench him in some leagues this week unless I have, you know, absolutely nobody else.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely can get behind that one. Like, I don't have a lot of faith in there and starting them. One of the other things I was going to point out, Eric, since we're kind of talking week one, like recap, is I went back for the last, what, fucking 5 years in week one? 5+ years in week one. And I just posted the top 13, top 14 wide receivers in week one. And I just wanted to look at some of the names, because we talk about Jameson Williams being up there. You talk about Jaden Reed being up there. And, like, some of these guys that we're real high on and, you know, people want to take victory laps. But I look back at some of this shit, you know, week one. 1 year, I think this was 2018 or 2019, Sammy Watkins had damn near 40 points in week one. John Ross was the number two wide receiver coming out of week one. Philip Dorsett was number six.
Yep, I remember that.
John Brown, remember old Smoke? He was up there. The following year, Darius Slayton with a 22 burger. Robbie Anderson with the 20 burger. I'm not calling him Robbie Chosen. I refuse. Same. Robbie Anderson. Jamison Crowder, 17.5 points coming out of week one. Marquez Valdez-Scantling was the number 9 wide receiver that week. Sammy Watkins again. Oh, that was the perfect stretch, right, where Sammy Watkins always blew up in week one and then never to be heard from again for the rest of the season.
Yep, I remember that week one against Jacksonville. That's when he had like 3 touchdowns that one. So that's when he was like number one. Yep.
I got one from a couple years ago. Corey Davis had 21 points, was wide receiver 5. Sterling Shepard had 17. He was wide receiver 10. And Zach Pascal had 16.3. He was wide receiver 13. 2 years ago, Eric, we had Gabe Davis, obviously, up there. He does that shit all the time. Jahan Dotson and the Jaden Reed thing, like, just kind of intertwine with me. It's like, oh, shit. Oh, shit. A couple big plays, and they score a touchdown, and everybody goes, fuck, I told you. That's the number one guy.
Yeah. Would they
they profile a lot the same. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying Jaden Reed won't be that dude, but just sometimes you got to pump the brakes. Robbie Anderson, again, with a 16 burger, number 9. That was a pretty mild year. And then last year, Jacoby Myers had 20.1 fantasy points, number 3 wide receiver on the week. Calvin Ridley started out hot, 16.1 fantasy points. Remember, Trevor Lawrence just force-feeding him targets.
Yeah.
Romeo Dobbs was the number 9 wide receiver. Rashid Shaheed was number 10. And Jordan Addison, number 13. Like, sometimes just because you start real hot, week one as a wide receiver doesn't necessarily mean it's going to take off for the rest of the year. Sometimes you got to work some shit out. So I just wanted to point that out too, because everybody's like, fucking look at J-Mo, look at Jaden Reed, look at like this guy up there that I'm taking a victory lap on. And I'm like, I've seen this shit before, you know, like one time Philip Dorsett exploded. And I was like, I told you Philip Dorsett's going to be that dude.
Or Alan Lazard has 2 touchdowns in week one.
If fluky shit like that happens, don't it? Right.
Yep.
Like it happens.
Would you go ahead and just any first round pick, you're trading Jaden Reed, like 2025 first?
Yeah, I think still at this point, like, I'm good. If you want to give me a first for Jaden Reed, you can have him, and I'll let you make that.
I think that's where I'm at, too.
That's the cutoff, though. Like, I'm not taking your second round pick. I'm not taking a second and fucking Alec Pierce, which that offer did come through. And fuck, no. No.
You give
fuck.
You Alec Pierce and Alan Lazard for him,
No, fuck out of here. I don't want this shit. So, just don't be disrespectful, but you give me a random 25 first, I'll take that.
Yeah. I mean, even though Alec Pierce and Alan Lazard had monster first weeks, like, they're still not worth more than, like, a third, you know? if that. So like, I don't want these guys.
Yeah. Somebody did try to just buy low on my Christian Watson too, by the way. Like they tried. They tried hard, Eric. It's a best ball league, so you give them credit, but Thielen, Kate Otten, and a fourth for Christian Watson and Josh Palmer.
Yeah, if they would have like, oh, and Josh Palmer. Okay, never mind. I thought it was just for Watson.
No, no.
I was going to say, like, if they were giving me Thielen, Otten, and maybe another, like, okay player, okay, we could talk.
Maybe in a best ball league that I was competing leagues, in.
Yeah, so I can get three guys, yeah. But, yeah, no, not adding in Palmer, too. No, thanks.
We talk about this shit all the time, too, like the knowing your league.
Yeah.
I had the 101 pick in this league last year. My team is comprised of youth and rookies. Why the fuck do I want to have Thielen Kidd? I'm not winning in 2024, buddy.
Right, yeah.
I have absolutely zero interest in this kind of shit.
Yeah, that's terrible.
It just cracks me up, like some of the shit that comes through the inbox.
Yeah,
it's. I try to do this too. Like I try to make a case that every offer that you get should be countered because you know you miss 100% of the shots you never take. Right, that old mantra.
Yeah.
On shit like that, there's nothing I can fucking do. There is nothing I can do. I have no like what. What do I counter with? I want no Kate Otten. I want no Adam Thielen. And you can keep your fucking fourth. Like, do you counter back with like two firsts?
Right. That's rough. Some people just are. I don't even know if they use their brains when they make their offers.
No, they just throw like, random shit.
Oh, this helps me like just destroy this guy in this trade offer. Let's send it. Like I'm completely the only one winning here, and I ain't giving them shit. So let's just send it. It doesn't work that way, there, Chief.
You found some trade calculator somewhere that said that was a good move. Like a redraft trade calculator, I bet.
Yeah, probably trade calculator for idiots book or something. Jesus.
Yeah. Looks like MFL's website.
Yeah, there you go. How about some guys that you're just like, either they had a really good week, but you don't expect it to continue, or guys that were just pitiful and you're just out on. You just want to get rid of them. Who are some of the guys from week one that you're just like, no thanks. I'm kind of out. I'm done.
Man, a lot of tight ends. Lot of tight ends, man. If you play the tight end position, I probably hate you, and I'm willing to send you away. Yeah. So, I mean, the easiest one, Luke Musgrave. Like this is,
yeah.
All my fears about Luke Musgrave, all the concerns that I had about Luke Musgrave came to fruition. I get it. He's big. He's athletic. He looks fucking great in gym shorts. He probably looked good down at the Senior Bowl, whatever it was. He was drafted ahead of Tucker Kraft. The fact is, I mean, this big, awesome athlete didn't stay healthy long enough, and when he was healthy, never fucking produced at Oregon State in a weak Pac-12. And by far and away, he should have been the best player on that team. As far as receiving options go, he just can't get it done. Tucker Kraft comes out and he blocks his fucking ass off. He runs good routes and he's a good athlete in his own right. He just happened to go to a small school, so nobody really knew who he was. So my convictions are right on the Tucker Kraft, Luke Musgrave thing. So I'm ready to take the victory lap, but if I had any Luke Musgrave, I'm just fucking selling him for whatever I can get right now. Give me a third, whatever. I'll re-roll that into some other Luke Musgrave type next year in the draft.
Yeah, I have a lot of Musgrave too. I actually started a couple this week and woof, kind of didn't like kill me, but I'm sure on some teams it did. So yeah, that's definitely one. I kind of talked about some of the tight ends that I didn't like earlier. So, the Freiermuth, Komet, Dalton Schultz. I think Dallas Goedert's probably the fourth in the pecking order now behind Barkley now. So yeah, those are definitely some guys that I'm a little bit concerned on. Another one that I kind of am out on, and we talked about a little bit about him earlier. Just watching Deshaun Watson, man, I don't even know if you can get a first for him anymore. We were kind of talking about it in the Savage chat. We saw the stuff on Kirk Cousins. Like, Kirk Cousins doesn't look fully healthy. Like, it's only a matter of time before Penix is in there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's happening this year at some point. So, like, do you just get out? Do I want to just get out on Kirk Cousins now on teams where, he's my quarterback too or whatever? and see if I can get somebody else. Like, can I get Derek Carr? Like, I'd rather have Derek Carr than Cousins right now. And everybody hates Derek Carr.
The problem with Cousins is that you want to believe that at some point he's going to get healthier and going to look better and feel more comfortable, and you can chalk it up to week one. And I want to live in that fantasy world, and I probably could if their backup quarterback was still Desmond Ridder or Taylor Heineke or somebody else. Not somebody that they just spent the number 8 pick on. Like, yeah. Not somebody which the fans are going to go ballistic for if Kirk struggles again for another couple weeks. Like, they, and my biggest fear is once he gets the job, he's not giving the fucking thing back. Like, it is, yeah, it is done. So I think I'm kind of with you, man, on Kirk Cousins. I want to believe that he'll knock the rust off and his Achilles will be feeling better, and, you know, by week 2 or 3. But then you look at the schedule and I look at how bad he played and I go, holy shit, the Eagles get him this week. He can't fucking move Jordan Davis, you know, yeah, Josh Sweat. Like, these guys are going to fucking kill him. They're going, yeah, to nuke him. So I don't anticipate him miraculously looking much better, you know, in 7 days than what we just saw. So if he goes out and puts up another turd burger, it's like, Jesus, is Michael Penix starting by week 3 already? So before that happens, I want to just, Jesus, man, can I trade Kirk Cousins for, I don't know, can you get Derek Carr at this point still? Like, is that still
a, I mean, nobody likes Derek Carr, so I think it's at least worth a try.
Could you get Aaron Rodgers, your boy? Like, do you think you could make that move?
You might be able to, yeah.
Could you put maybe a second on and go for Stafford?
I think so, yeah.
Something like that? Like, I think these are the kind of moves, because I think if you just try to just sell Kirk Cousins outright, people would be like, I'll give you a third.
Like, yeah. Like, at that point, I'll just keep him.
Exactly. At that point, I become a buyer, right? Like, if that's Kirk Cousins' price for a fucking third, I'll fuck around and find out for a third. I mean, I'll spend a third on a shitty backup quarterback who's going to start in week 14 when I need one. Why wouldn't I fuck around and try to find out on Kirk Cousins? So, I don't know. I think if you get a second, or you can make like one of those moves and package Kirk Cousins somewhere else, trade him straight up for a Derek Carr or somebody that somebody fucking hates, or an Aaron Rodgers or whatever it might be, try that. But it's a tough situation if you were relying on Kirk Cousins as your super flex option.
Yeah. Shit, he's my starter in the Scott Fishbowl League. Like, my QB1. I have Geno Smith. I have Penix. I did draft Penix, so I'm okay there. It's definitely not looking good. I might have to sit him this week. I think you're right. I probably would rather play like one of these returned guys over him, to be honest.
I think I gave you one tight end, but I'll pretty much add every fucking tight end in the league to this. Right. Erica, I'm never doing this thing where I invest any kind of capital in tight end ever again. You know, right. I don't care if I think it's Trey McBride or if it's fucking Mark Andrews or Travis Kelce's going to have another tight end 1 year. I'm not talking myself into this shit ever again, because this tight end A-warp, tight ends don't matter A-warp strategy is just fucking phenomenal. You know, best ball is one thing, but I'm talking even generic lineup leagues, Eric. Like, think how well off you are if you've had to force yourself to start Isaiah Likely this week. Like, you reaped all of that. All of it. Like, you want to talk about a positional advantage? I wasn't counting on this dude. I had to start Isaiah Likely. Boom. But you even go down the list. Like, I had to start Foster Moreau. Like, my tight end room is so shit. This was the best option that I had. I had to start Foster Moreau. Good. You got the number 2 tight end in the league this week because you had to start Foster Moreau. And you look like a fucking genius. You don't even have to be a genius. Your tight end room just needs to be bad enough where you have to make those kind of decisions. Yeah. Like, I want you to have to come on start sit in the morning on Sunday and look Eric in the eye while you ask, Eric, do I start Foster Moreau or Noah Gray this week? Like, who the fuck am I starting? And Eric's like, oh my God, orphan this team. Leave the league. It's terrible. But that's where you need to put yourself at tight end. So if I'm sitting on any of these guys, Sam Laporta, Trey McBride, George Kittle, David Njoku, Pat Freiermuth, Dallas Goedert, like, I don't give a fuck. Sell them. Sell him. And you don't even need to get full boat. Like, give me a first and a second for Sam Laporta. He's yours. Done. Out the door. Give me a second for Cole Kmet or Pat Freiermuth or Dallas Goedert. If you believe, go ahead. And I'm going to take that second. I'm going to use it to make the rest of my roster better. And I'm going to go to the waiver wire, even in these deep 40-man bench roster best ball leagues. And I'm going to go fuck around and see if I can't find some tight end who's out there playing. I mean, you talked about some of the guys on the waiver wire podcast where you're like, I guarantee you in some of these fucking leagues, even like heavy tight end premium leagues in best ball and 40-man rosters, these dudes are still floating around on waivers.
Yeah.
How many fucking Julian Hills
are on people's teams? Every Julian Hill is out there. Every Mykole Pruitt is out there.
Every single fucking one of them. Yeah. So this is the kind of shit, like, these are the tight end rooms you need to get. I mean, Foster Moreau, I picked him up off of waivers before the season started because I was like, ah, fuck it, he might have a role or something. I don't know what's going to happen at the Saints tight end room. And then he goes out to my best ball team, and I'm like, I got the tight end two. I got the tight end two of the week. What a pickup. Yeah. He was free. Cost me zero fab 1 week before the season started. Great. Yep.
I either want to have the stud, like, even some of the studs sucked. Like, Dalton Kincaid didn't do shit. Yeah, everyone
Kelsey Andrews on Thursday night were fucking terrible.
Yeah, they were both terrible. You know, Laporta wasn't that great, but he's probably still decent enough to get you by.
He's a top 10 tight end of the week with 8.5 points.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just, it is really, just see what happens. But yeah, it's just some of these guys, like, you got to pay attention to the snap counts and who's playing with them and all that too. Like, I don't want a guy who's out there only 40% of the time, like Cole Kmet, like, that's not going to cut it. I need somebody out there that's a lot. Like, so I'm trying to look for these 65% plus guys that are out there and just hope they fall into a touchdown 1 week. That's basically all I'm looking for.
Coop and I got a bet on the Josh Oliver versus Johnny Munt thing. And right now I'm up 1 week on the scoreboard. All right. Just by a little bit. I take the dubs where I could get them. But both Josh Oliver and Johnny Munt outscored Mark Andrews, Dawson Knox, Craig Dulcich, Noah Fant, Dalton Kincaid, like Evan Ingram, Tyler Conklin, Jonnu Smith. Like, these are guys fucking, there was people, Cole Kmet, people were firing up Jatavion Sanders with extreme amounts of confidence this week.
Yeah. R.I.P. So here's one that I did this week in my main home redraft league. So I had the second waiver claim. So, of course, the guy who had the first one took Likely. So, I didn't get Likely. But Colby Parkinson was out there. I picked him up with using my second waiver claim. Now, I reset all the way to the back. And I had Njoku, so I needed a tight end. But Parkinson's out there fucking 85, 90% of the time. They just lost Puka Nacua. Like, I think we've seen what Tyler Higbee can do when, you know, they were down a receiver or whatever. I think Parkinson could be in for some big-time play here. So
absolutely could.
That's a guy I would love to fucking get right now on all my teams.
Fuck all these tight ends, man. Yeah. Every single one of them. Hate them all. Yep.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal out there.
Except you, Juwan Johnson. I'll never quit you or cut you.
Yeah, like, I started him in a couple leagues this week. Like, he didn't play the most snaps. You know, I should have thought about it more, like, he's not going to play enough snaps. You know, Foster Moreau, but they both panned out. Like, Moreau and Juwan Johnson both caught touchdowns. So, like, if I started him, like, it worked. You know, better than these Luke Musgraves I ended up fucking starting over him. So that kind of sucked. But the other quarterback, too, I wanted to mention since we kind of got off track there. But what about Bryce Young? Are you just fucking done with him? Does he just suck?
He might. Yeah. He might. But also, kind of like Deshaun Watson, I can still make enough excuses for him where I'm like, all right, and maybe give me another week or two. But here's the risk you run, Eric. Here's the risk. We talk about Dynasty being the long-term game, and, you know, we're always looking at the year-to-year outlook, not the week-to-week outlook, whatever good body talk you want. If Bryce Young sucks again for another week or two, he's fucking cooked.
That's my thing with Bryce Young. I've never seen him play fucking good in the NFL.
Yet. Yep.
I can't even tell you one performance where I'm like, holy shit. Did you see what Bryce Young did?
Yeah.
Like, there isn't one. It don't exist. And this first week was, like Maddie was on the show on Sunday. He said Panthers, you know, bet on the Panthers today. He thought they're gonna have a big game. Nope, because I was the opposite. I'm like, I'm all Saints. So, Bryce Young, man, I think he's in my Watson Kirk Cousins tier here of like, I think I'm just done.
You ready to hit the eject button? Yeah. We're over.
Yeah, here's me as a Browns fan, like, Watson, yeah, no thanks. Like, I don't see this shit turning around.
If you could sell,
he looks lost.
If you could sell Bryce Young for Sam Darnold straight up, would you do it?
I mean, you just talk about it in your head. You're like, no, I can't do that. But you know what? You probably should. Even though it feels uncomfortable to do it, you probably fucking should do it. Oh. And, you know, at the end of the year, you might come out looking great on that one. And you'd be like, man, I that was a smart move. Those are the tough decisions you got to make in Dynasty. Sometimes you're right, sometimes you're wrong. Like last year, like, you know, we talked about it, Puka for Quentin Johnston that you made. You're looking back on that, kicking yourself in the fucking ass about that one. You know, I could, if I did that, Bryce Young for Darnold, I could be kicking myself in the ass, you know, come next year for it. But I also could be like, thank fucking God I did that, because Bryce Young is, they moved on from him. He's the new Zach Wilson.
They're still close enough in the keep trade cut ranks for me to say that there might be a possibility, might be, that you could trade Bryce Young for Michael Penix straight up.
Yeah,
or if you had to add a little bit. Now let me ask you, if you had to add to it, what are you willing to add?
Can I get rid of one of those shitty tight ends? Can I just force him to take Cole Kmet?
You take Cole Kmet.
Here's Cole Kmet and Bryce Young for your Penix.
I love it. You're killing two birds with one stone.
Yeah, I think that's the play.
There's the play. Pick a fucking tight end. Yep. That you're like, fuck this guy. Yep. Attach him to Bryce Young, go get Michael Penix. I love it. There's the move.
Yep. Anyone else you were kind of disappointed with in week one?
I touched on the top of the show. I was just fucking disappointed that we didn't have more high-scoring games, more passing offense. I mean, we're fucking fantasy degenerates, man. I want to see big numbers. Like, shiny things. Make me happy. When I watch Red Zone, I want them to be, like, red alerting that motherfucker all the time. You know what I mean? Like, they just showed you a touchdown that you're on, and they're like, red alert, we got to get you caught up. Here's five more touchdowns you missed while we were showing this one. And instead, it was like, red alert, here's a punt that somebody muffed. Ooh, fuck me.
Yeah, like,
never seen that shit before.
Here's another terrible play by Will Levis that turned into a touchdown.
Dude, talk about another quarterback you should be ready to hit the fucking eject on, man. The first half, I'm watching that, and I'm watching Will Levis play, and I'm going, Eric, all right, man, like, I can get behind this. Like, he's not lighting up the scoreboard by any means, but he's making real nice reads and nice throws, and you can see the arm strength, and damn, they're using him on design quarterback runs, using that big-ass frame of his. Like, he might be Josh Allen light here by the end. And then he went, like, full shitty Josh Allen in his first couple years, like, Josh Allen in the playoffs where he tries to fucking lateral it for no reason, and you're like, oh no, you went past Josh Allen, you went all the way to Carson Wentz with the Colts. Like, you went to that level of shit. Oh no. This could not be good. So I think that's another one that you gotta have your finger over, like the eject button, because you get another week of that shit. Oh man.
Yeah.
Mason Rudolph is ass, but that dude will be starting games here real soon if this keeps up.
And that was another thing I wanted to bring up. So on the waiver wire show, I talked about the shitty quarterbacks that you need to be picking up. You know, Jameis Winston tops the list. You got to have Jameis Winston. There's no doubt in my mind Jameis Winston is starting games this year. Drew Lock, he's starting games this year. I think Mason Rudolph, if Will Levis continues down this route, Mason Rudolph is going to start games for you. If Bryce Young continues to be this bad, maybe they need to sit him and let Andy Dalton fucking play. We talked about Penix. Penix is a different story because he's a first-round pick and it's going to be hard to get. But guys that could be on your waiver wire right now, or guys you can get thrown into a trade, Jameis Winston, Drew Lock, Mason Rudolph, guys like that, I want to go out and acquire right now if I can. Especially like Jameis and Locke. There's no doubt in my mind that Drew Locke and Jameis Winston are going to be starting games here soon. Let me give you doubt in my mind.
Let me give you one more.
Sure.
But you and I have been holding on to him. Aiden O'Connell start fucking football games.
That was a given. Like the rate, both of those guys
some,
are probably.
Some people don't
start...
think it's a given though. Like they think it's fucking Gardner the mustache never gonna give it back, and they're gonna look after week one. They're gonna look at his stat line and go, "Oh, it wasn't too bad. He played like shit."
Yeah,
he played like shit.
There's no doubt in my mind. Like anybody coming in this season, O'Connell and Minshew are one's gonna start 9 games, one's gonna start 8. Like that was just a formality. Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, probably the same thing. You know, there's a couple quarterback situations like that. Yeah, I definitely want those guys for sure. So Aiden O'Connell is definitely another one I would want. And I'm not saying, like, I want these guys because I want to start them. I want to get them because then when they become the starter, I can trade them for something better, like a second-round pick or something like that. So that's kind of where I'm going with this. It's like maybe Jameis is maybe the only one on that list where I'm, like, actually excited to watch him play in a good offense. And with these weapons, like, let Jameis just fucking chuck the ball downfield to Cooper and Njoku and Judy and all these guys. Like, the rest of these guys, I just want to acquire them. And then when they become the starter, I can deal them for a draft pick or something. So that's kind of what I'm looking for with those guys.
There you go. Yeah. I'm going to keep all my Sam Hartman shares, too. Like, I think Marcus Mariota sucks. And sometimes the way Jaden Daniels runs, especially in week one, and how skinny he looks, I'm like, this dude is going to get fucked up at some point. Like, he is going to get blasted. Now, I think he's tough enough to come back from it and be fine, and we're not going to have an RG3 situation. But there's no doubt in my mind, I think at some point, Jaden Daniels, just the way he plays and his frame, is going to get fucked up. And Sam Hartman is going to start a game or two. Somebody's like, "Oh yeah, I'll take Sam for a third. Like, let me send that right now. I need a quarterback real bad."
Yeah, I mean, Mariota went on IR. They kept Jeff Driscoll. Driscoll is actually the backup right now. So, if you think Jaden Daniels is going to get hurt soon, then maybe Driscoll's the guy to pick up.
I don't know if it'll be but later in the season.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. Like, he's going to have to learn to slide and get out of bounds. You know, like he has to learn what Lamar does, basically. Like, Lamar hasn't had too many problems with taking big shots, but Jaden Daniels is going to have to learn to kind of do the same thing. Man, trying to think of some other guys here that I'm kind of just out on.
I don't think Geno, like, walked away with the job either in week one. So, I'm still like, Sam Howell in it. You know,
yeah, that offense, like, everyone kind of expected it to be high flying, you know, like the Washington college offense last year, passing the 3 guys all the time. And like, if you listen to DK Metcalf right before the season, somebody interviewed him and talked about, you know, how they're going to run the ball a lot and all this stuff. And like, it kind of was like, really? Like, I've heard different. But then they come out, fucking Kenneth Walker's got 20 carries, and Zach Charbonnet's getting some use. And, like, DK Metcalf really didn't do anything. And then the second half, he kindly got a couple passes and caught up there. Tyler Lockett had a decent game. JSN didn't do shit. So, yeah, it kind of made me pause on that one a little bit. Maybe, you know, I think DK Metcalf is valued pretty high. Maybe that's a guy I sell low on. Can I get a first rounder and, you know, like, another player for DK?
That's not bad.
So that's a good one that you brought up.
I'm going to continue to fire Zach Charbonnet into the fucking sun, too. Like,
yeah.
Like people were talking about, well, we don't know because of this new coordinator and how this new coaching staff's going to handle the workload. Kenneth Walker was like, it's my fucking backfield. You guys kiss my ass. Like, yeah. Charbonnet did get a touchdown. I was on a blown fucking coverage downfield, and he got some carries in the later stages of the game. But it's Kenneth Walker's team, man. They'd had no problem turning around, handing the ball off to him 20 fucking times.
No, not at all. So I think the last one we could talk about is Puka Nacua. I think if I'm a, you know, team that's not contending or a middle of the pack, like, I want to go get him, so I have him for the future.
Mm-hmm.
What, or do you want to deal Puka Nacua? Are you kind of out on him? What's your feelings on him?
If I'm a contender, I'm holding on to him. I'm riding out till he comes back. I'm going to treat him like when, you know, Jefferson went down last year, you know, Chase has missed time. Like, I'm not fucking selling low. You know, I'm not going to, you know, bite my nose off to spite my face, per se. But yeah, if I'm if I'm any kind of fucking team out there, I think even if I'm a contender and somebody's going to panic a little bit on Puka and I can get a discount, I think I'm still going to send it. I think Cup's going to have a big year, but there's no reason when Puka's back, both these guys can't eat. Like, we've seen it out of a McVay offense before. Like, yeah, we saw it last year when they played together, right? We all wanted to take victory laps as soon as Cooper Kupp came back about how much usage he was getting, and then Puka still went out there and dominated too. So I have no qualms about having Puka on my team, keeping him on my team, and if somebody's going to fuck around and let me get a discount, yeah, I'm going to go acquire more.
Yeah. I mean, in one of our leagues, I tried to, you know, even though we went 2-0 during the week, but we have a bunch of, like, older guys, so I went out and offered, like, Calvin Ridley and Christian Watson for him, Calvin Ridley and Keenan Allen for him. You know, the guy didn't want to take it. You know, I was trying to give him some help, you know, while he's missing Puka and, you know, get Puka a little bit on the cheap. But he didn't go for it, so.
Not biting. Not biting.
No.
He didn't really move too much on keep trade gut either. Wide receiver 10, so.
Yeah.
I think if it's a scenario, though, like if I could trade him straight up, like as a contender for somebody in the same tier, like I would do it just so I get the points for the next couple weeks. But I don't know how likely that is that somebody's going to be willing to give up a Nico Collins, Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith type. Like that shit probably ain't flying, man. It probably ain't.
Yeah. And like I said, I tried for like maybe two guys below him in the tier or a couple tiers below. That didn't work either. So
would you do it, like if you're a Puka owner, would you trade him straight up for like Olave, who had a terrible week one?
Yeah, I think they're probably pretty close in the same tier, so I think that's probably one I could consider. Yeah,
what about one of these young guys coming up, like Brian Thomas, Xavier Worthy, Rashee Rice?
Rashee Rice is a good one. The other guys, I think I would probably need like a draft pick or another player back with it. But Rashee Rice, that's an interesting one.
DJ Moore, that's a little bit farther down. Bad week one with the whole Bears offense was bad.
Yeah, I think he's going to get the ball quite a bit. I wouldn't mind it like if you're a contender and need him. Like I don't think DJ Moore and Puka Nacua's stats are going to be that far off of each other, so...
There you go. Those are just some ideas of like stuff to do. But I mean, if we get down into the fucking weeds here and somebody's like, I'll give you, you know, JSN, you can get bent. Ladd right. McConkey. Like, nah, I'm right. Good. What about this one? Contending team. You got Puka. Somebody offers you Cooper Kupp straight up for him. Make that swap.
Ooh. I think I might.
I think you're going to ride out Cooper for the rest of the year? Yep.
Yeah, I think so.
It's got to be that caliber, though, right? Because, like, if it's
Mike Evans. Yeah, he's got to be, like, an absolute stud. Like, if you offer me Devontae Adams for him, I'm probably not doing it.
I was just going to throw out, like, Devontae Adams, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin.
Evans, maybe. Godwin, maybe. Devontae Adams, probably not, because I don't think he's going to be a little too inconsistent. I think Mike Evans and Godwin, man, those two might just fucking eat all year.
Like, very again. Well good. Yeah. Very well good. Just some ideas that were thrown out. Debo, would you do it for Debo?
Ooh, that one's close.
I mean, he's winning number one now, too. Like, he's got the swag.
I think that one's close. I think that one you could debate. Maybe you ask him to throw in a third or something.
There you go.
Or a player that's like a third.
I need a juice piece, you know. I need something where I can buy a spot start from somebody later.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think that those are probably some pretty good ones for Puka.
There's I get behind like, it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think those are good ones. And like, if you could maybe, like, get off your DK Metcalf and somebody to go get him, I think that would be a good one too. So you could tear up to him, I think, as well.
Well, here's your breaking news.
Okay.
Audric Estime placed on injured reserve.
Well, that's some free roster spots for me, at least.
He's only out.
What'd he do? What'd he do? Fall off the fucking bench?
Cherubini's down. Yeah. Cherubini's down. Nope. Out at least 4 weeks.
Okay.
Well, let me ask you. Bucky Irving. Last thing. Bucky Irving. Mm-hmm. You believe in it? The advanced analytics say he was 10 times better than Rashad White. Now, the usage ain't the same.
Doesn't say that, yeah.
The usage doesn't say the same, but he looked good.
Yeah, looked mean.
He looked explosive.
Yeah, I mean, we saw him at Oregon. Like, the dude is like a light version of LeSean McCoy. Like, he can make some moves in the open field. So
is this Kyren 2.0? Just test like absolute shit, but you know, once you get to the league, you ain't that bad?
I think so. That's kind of why I drafted some Bucky and I drafted some Estime. Like, I like those guys on tape. They can play football. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely possible. He's probably one of the better backups you want in the league right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, I might have been way wrong on him. I might have been way wrong on Kyren Williams. The fucking train rolls on, baby. I'll keep. If you're small and slow at the running back, I probably still hate you. Hey, at least I got the fade Devin Singletary into the fucking sun. Fuck that guy.
I'll tell you what, though. I'm excited for next year's running back class. So, we'll do this. America's favorite game. Who's your favorite running back coming into next year's class?
Woo! Favorite. I'm still going to lean Amarian Hampton. Like, get slept on because North Carolina just fucking... It's North Carolina. Like, they're in tight games they shouldn't be in. they're frustrating. But Amarian Hampton, watching him run, just gives me all the feels, man. I love those giant fucking bowling ball running backs. I just do. If you got a little bit of juice to you, I absolutely love you. Though I will say, watching Ashton Jeanty play so far this season has been like boner alert, Eric. It has been boner alert. So that guy is incredible. But my favorite still, I'm going to lean to the bowling ball. Though Jeanty's no slouch himself, man. That guy looks like he hit the gym this offseason. He put on a little bit of muscle. I mean, he's rocked up.
I love Jeanty. That's probably my guy. You know who else I'm actually really liking? Because at 3:30 my time, I was watching the game with you. You're Caleb. Is it Caleb Jackson, right?
Caleb Johnson, man. Caleb Johnson.
I knew it was Jackson or Johnson. I couldn't remember. Caleb Johnson from Iowa. That guy I like. He's going to be a good NFL back, I think.
You know what? He reminds me of another guy. He didn't play at Iowa, but he played at an Iowa school. The way he runs and the way he gets out there, the way he moves, he reminds me of David Johnson. He really does.
Yeah.
Like, and they are bigger than you think. I mean, Caleb goes like 225.
Yeah, he's a big dude. Yeah, that's why I like these guys. They're bigger guys, and he's got some speed to him. Like, he was beating guys to the edge against, I know it's Iowa State, but it's still a pretty respectable school. So, Caleb and Jeanty, I really like. Obviously, both Ohio State guys I like. You know, Singleton, you got to like. Rocket Sanders is still fast. Like, just trying to think of some of the other backs that would be coming out. But there's a bunch of them coming out next year. So there's going to be a lot more running backs coming again in the NFL and putting all these guys that we like right now on notice. Like,
one of the guys that is standing out to me right now is Dylan Sampson at Tennessee. And I know Cody did a video on him way back when, before the season even started, as a breakout guy for him in the SEC. And Dylan Sampson's going out and performing. Like, we got all excited about what Jalen Wright did for that Tennessee team last year. That's like, oh, did he actually leave school? Or is Dylan Sampson just the new Jalen Wright? Like, he looks really good. Really, really good. So I'm excited for him too. How about that RJ Harvey out of UCF? Nobody watches fucking UCF games. Nobody does.
Yeah.
He's another big guy out there producing. And kind of one of the surprising ones. I haven't heard too much out of Ollie Gordon yet this year. And that was a guy last year that I just absolutely loved.
He hasn't tore it up yet or anything. I just pulled up some of the top guys right now. So the Rutgers running back is second in the league, Kyle Moniani. I'm going to guess that's how you say it. He's second in the league in rushing. Cam Scadabo from ASU, he's third. Caleb's number four. Desmond Reed from Pitt, he's number five.
I don't want to talk about this because Barry lucked into this motherfucker. Like, he absolutely lucked into this in our C2C league. Like, the starting running back for Pittsburgh, like, it was literally a day, maybe 2 days before the season kicked off. gets announced that he's ineligible for the whole fucking season.
Yeah, Ronnie Hamden, who I had on my team.
Yeah, exactly. So Barry just lucks into his backup now, just taking all this work and exploded on the scene. Like, right. Barry's going to be like, that was all skill.
Yeah.
God damn it. No, it wasn't.
And how about this guy? He's 6'2", 233 listed. He's a senior. Jaquindon Jackson for Arkansas.
Yeah.
8 for 101, 24 for 149, you know. And he's had 2 catches for 20 yards in both games too, so that could be another guy. Like the next year's running back class, man, is just looking really, really nice. We're gonna have a lot of running backs coming into the NFL next year again.
Welcome back, Nick Singleton too, back to relevance too.
Yeah, Singleton. I mean, God, there's so many of these guys. Devin Neal's been pretty decent this year again. Yeah, there's some guys next year in the running back class. Hopefully they come out. Like, some of these guys have been staying too. Like, some of these guys are juniors, you know, they've been staying into the NFL, but some of these guys, that if they come out, man, it should look really nice.
Like, my prediction has always been we're not gonna see a first round running back next year, not because I don't think they're that talented, just because when it's this deep, like, teams don't generally reach up. Like, they'll reach into the first round if there's only two. You know, there's a Gibbs and there's a Bijan. It's like, we don't get these fucking guys, we're fucked. So, like, they'll reach for that kind of stuff. Listen, Eric, we talked about it at the start of the show with the way teams are running the football, at least in week one. Like, if this is the way that teams are going to start preparing for defenses, do we kind of go in a time machine back to, like, the early 2000s? We got like 4 running backs, 5 running backs drafted in the first round now. Like, we're back. They're back.
Yeah, I don't think the NFL will go to that again, but I could see a lot of like top of the second round, middle of second round talent again. I see a lot of those kind of guys like falling in that
2020 draft class. You know, Akers and Dobbins and JT and Clyde Edwards-Helaire was a 32nd pick.
Yeah, that Chubb was up there. Yeah, so those guys, yep, for sure.
Yeah, I could see that.
Definitely said that.
Yep. Oh, running backs. Maybe they're back.
Yeah, they're back. Oh, man. All right, so that is going to be it for this week, guys. Week 2 is upon us. For tomorrow night, be Bills and Dolphins. Please play Devin DeChain, please. But, yeah, I'm excited for that, excited for week 2. Yeah, if you guys didn't hear it yesterday, I did the waiver wire show. It was a little longer than usual shows. Just because it was week 1, there's a lot of information out there. But check that out. It drops every Tuesday morning right here on the podcast feed. I do that. Start Sit Show we do on Sundays. That was a lot of fun doing it this week with Maddie and T-Rock. So not sure who's going to be on it this week. But that's a lot of fun if you got any of your last-minute Start Sit questions. That happens. We got videos popping up on the YouTube. We got Koopa's show. We got Matt Dennis's show that drops on the podcast feed. Fizzle Fridays. You got Fizzle doing his live show on Fridays. That's been awesome. I've been a guest on there a couple times. You're usually on there with me or with Fizzle. So that's an awesome time. Obviously, Maddie and Cody are doing a ton of videos on there as well. You're doing videos. So, man, there's so much good stuff going on with South Harmon right now. So if you're not tapped into subscribed here to the podcast channel, make sure you go on to YouTube, subscribe to the YouTube channel to like, comment on those videos, man. That helps us a lot when you guys do that. Just even if it's a fucking emoji, you want to put a fire emoji, a big old eggplant, go ahead, throw that on there. I love throwing the eggplant emoji on there on the videos. I'm sure you've seen that, Matt or Mike. Oh, you're muted, buddy.
I said I love it, but I was just about to lose it here. I opened Twitter just for a second. I saw Shannon Sharp is trending, and I clicked on it. Holy fuck.
Is it Antonio Brown stuff again?
No. Apparently, you know, here's some breaking news for you. Shannon Sharp went on Instagram Live. You don't see anything. But he's smashing a girl in the background, like, and they're making lots of noise doing it. Like, he's on Instagram Live, just fucking pounded, you know, just, you know, giving her that Hall of Fame,
laying the pipe.
And it just reminds me of like all those memes from his last show with fucking Skip Bayless, where he's on there crying about like, at the end of the day, I just want you to know, like, I want him to say that I gave it my all. unk. You definitely gave it your all on this fucking IG live video, bro.
Oh, Antonio Brown hates him too. And Antonio Brown like posts like funny memes about him with like dildos and shit. I don't know. It's funny, damn. But I'm sure Antonio Brown is going to have a field day with that one.
Oh, that's making CTE ESPN for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All right, guys. At Eric Vanek NFL, at America's Game Pod. Follow those on Twitter, at South Harmon FF. Follow that on Twitter and YouTube as well. Mike's at Iowa Michael on Twitter. Anything else you got for us, Mike, before we wrap it up?
That's all I got, man. I'm just listening to this audio, getting excited. He's giving it the business.
You better ring the bell, tell the wife you're coming up, put the kids to bed.
All right, baby.
we're going to test out this Iowa Michael Instagram, this new Instagram reel.
I'm going on Instagram Live. Let's go.
I will not be opening any Instagram reels from Michael today.
I'd stay off tonight.
He's got some new ideas for some new content.
Oh, man, he's like grunting. Oh, he's grunting so hard.
What a way to end the show. All right, guys, we will see you next week for episode number 60.
Adios.